Well, good morning. I too want to welcome you to Hope Community Church, a caring place where God transforms lives. I wanted to say to those of you who have been helping out with the fifth quarter, thank you. And whether it was through giving of snacks, whether it was helping set up, being a part of it, tearing down, and even praying for this venture that we call the fifth quarter, I want to say thank you for that. We had around 20 students on Friday night. And I was actually expecting lower numbers just because of all the rain and the cold, but it was cool. We had a lot of the same faces, and we had three new kids. And the other thing that happened that was really neat at the end of the night, as we were tearing everything down, the basketball coach came up and just wanted to thank us for what we were doing here. So that was pretty neat. So again, thank you for all of your efforts in what we're trying to do with connection with the high school. All right? All right, yeah, so from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much. So this morning, we want to continue in our series called The Word, where we're going to be taking time for the next several months together looking at the Gospel of John, and specifically chapters 1 and 2 and then 3. And so I want to show a picture here, and Nathan's going to put it up for us, and I don't know if any of you are familiar with this handsome guy. I heard it. Who was it? Paul Revere, that's right. Now, what I learned about Paul Revere was, by trade, he was a silversmith, but he was also a part of the colonial militia, and he was an officer. And he is most famous for the words, from my understanding, is the British are, right. So what I read about Paul Revere in this midnight run was, in April 18th of, let me read this, here we go, 1775, Paul Revere was sent by Dr. Joseph Warren to go warn both Samuel Adams and John Hancock that the British troops were coming to arrest them. And for that, what he did, he went and to Lexington, Massachusetts to do so. And why I share that brief history with us is that Paul Revere was sent. He was sent by Dr. Joseph Warren to go announce that the British were coming. And so today, when we look at our passage here in John chapter 1, we want to take a look at the message. That's what we're going to be looking at today, the message. Not Eugene Peterson's translation of the Bible, but the message, which is a message of hope, a message that is found in the person of Jesus Christ. And last week, what we learned as we began our series, we said that Jesus was there in the beginning. And we said that the power of the Word builds our faith and our confidence, and also the power of the Word shows us the way. We learn that it is God's very words to us, and that Jesus is the one who was, the one who is, and the one who is to come. So if you have your outlines this morning, they'll be found in the church bulletin. We want to begin by saying this, is that we bring a vital message to the world. We bring a vital message to the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Through him, God has enriched your church in every way, with all of your eloquent words and all of your knowledge. This confirms that what I told you about Christ is true." What Paul was saying here, he was saying that the message of Jesus Christ to the Corinthian people, they bought into it. They believed in it. And that their lives were being changed, and that was a result of what God's message had done. And so, you know, for you and I, there's a lot of important things that we enjoy talking about, don't we? We enjoy talking, maybe for some of us, about our job. Or we may enjoy talking about relationships that we have. Or we may enjoy talking about our grandkids, or just things that go on in our lives. And sometimes when it comes to this message of Jesus Christ, as a follower of Jesus, we see it as important, but sometimes we see it as important in certain circles that we're in. Like, for example, here today, it's easier to talk about the message of Jesus. And for some of us, it may be, listen, this whole thing about Jesus and me, it's a personal thing. Or even for some of us, it may be, you know what, I get very awkward in certain situations to bring up his message of hope. And so what we can understand, though, is that this is God's good news. That's the redemptive message in all this. God has brought about a plan of rescue for humankind. And as a follower of Jesus, that's what we've been asked to do, is to bring that vital message to the world. And I've asked my students at times, if it's not us who do it, then who is it? If it's not you, then who? And so this morning, as we look at our passage here in John chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 6 through 8. But I want us to look back to our Advent series, in which was entitled Prepare the Way. And we learned about a man by the name of Zechariah. And Zechariah is the father of John the Baptist. And then from Zechariah and Elizabeth to John the Baptist, John the Baptist was the one who was a part of preparing the way for the Lord. The Bible tells us that he was a voice in the wilderness. You could say that John the Baptist was like the original survivor man. He was like man versus wild. Like he had it on, you know, Bear Grylls, right? So what we want to understand is that John plays a role in the announcement, in the message of the Savior coming into the world. Now, as we look at this passage today, a couple of things I want you to remember is that the writer is John for the Gospel of John, but when we hear the name John, it's referring to John the Baptist, okay? So there's a lot of Johns going on, but just know the John that we're talking about is John the Baptist. You with me? All right, good. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to John chapter 1. We're going to go to John chapter 1, and our main text for today is verses 6 through 8. But I want to go back and read verses 1 through 5 and then 6 through 8 to give us the full picture so we can continue to get into God's Word. So John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of time. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Verse 6. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came as only a witness to the light." And so we look at these verses this morning, and what we want to do is take the next few moments together and talk about a story to tell. A story to tell. We had already mentioned that John is the one who is going to make an announcement about the Savior. But for those of us who are followers of Jesus, we have also an important message for the world. And so let's take a look at this story for you and I and how that plays out in our lives. So once again, in your outline, the first is this, is that our story is a story of declaration. Our story is a story of declaration. Just like Dr. Joseph Warren sent Paul Revere to go warn that the British were coming, God had sent John. He had chosen John to be the one who was the messenger that the Savior was coming into the world. God was using John the Baptist to say, listen, God's story of redemption is becoming reality. And when he used John, he had John in mind to do that very job. He said, you're going to be my messenger, my ambassador, my kingdom representative, that my son is coming. And what was this message that John was declaring? We see in Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, it says, "About that time, John the Baptist began preaching in the desert area of Judea. John said, 'Change your hearts and lives, because the kingdom of heaven is near.'" John's message was saying this: turn away from your sin and turn your faces towards God. Repent of what your life is, and turn to God. Live a life of obedience to him. And why was John doing this? John was doing this because he was coming to display God's redemption to his people. That's what he was there for. Again, he was chosen to do so. And John was now stating, he was saying that there is going to be life that is made possible through God's Son. And we see in verse 7 that the word light again is spoken of. We learned last week that the word light represented life. And we said that not only light represented life, but it represented truth. And we know that what Jesus has told us in his word, he said that when you know my truth will set you free. With that, we see that John here, his name, I don't know if you knew this, but his name means God is gracious. That's pretty neat. God is gracious. What God was doing through his son was he was drawing people back to himself. And what God has done through Jesus is he extended grace. And what he was doing was he was using John to get the word out. You know, when I think about the fifth quarter, there had to be someone to share with the school that we were offering a place for where kids could come to a safe environment after whether it was football or basketball. But someone had to go do that. And it wasn't like the elders sat around the table. Well, maybe we did, but it was saying, like, who's going to go? And who's going to let the school know that we want to partner with you? We want to see what's best for these kids. And so the elders did. They said, Jeff, you're the guy. But, you know, it's not just about the students. It's declaring a message of hope to them and to the administration. And so why I share that with you is that someone needed to share that story. And see, when you pray for that, when you donate to that, whether it's your time, your treasure, your talents, you're a part of that story also. Because we have a story to declare. Our story is one that speaks of how we were lifeless. Our story speaks of one that we were in the dark. And yet Christ shined his light on us and he breathed life into us. And he has sent us to be like John, an ambassador, like a kingdom representative, a messenger of hope, to let people know that Jesus is near. Jesus is coming. And what I've learned in my own life is that it happens in the everyday. It happens in the routine of our life. And because we may think, well, I'm not wired and I'm not set up for a fifth quarter. I'm not, you know, I don't have the smarts like some do. Or it's in the ordinary. It's in the everyday that we declare God's story in our lives. Whether it's just at home, raising our kids, whether it's dealing with bosses at work, whether it's the day-to-day of homework and school, but that's what he's asked us to do. You know, Jesus made a declaration as well. He said, whatever you want, that's what I want. When it came to the cross, that was his declaration. If this is what you will for me, I will accept. The Bible tells us in John 3:14-15, it says, as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on the pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. You see, Jesus made a declaration too. He said, I will be a part of your redemptive plan for human history. And so for you and I, when we speak of a story, our story being a story of declaration, the question for us is, what prevents us? What barriers do we have when it comes to announcing God's story in our lives? Because there may be several things for you. It may be that personal deal. That's between me and God. Or it may you feel awkward. Or how do I have balance at work when these things are brought up? And so what we can be encouraged by with our story is that we don't have to be the gospel. See, there's many things in my life and probably your life as well that you're not ashamed to share and to tell about. But you don't have to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, when we begin to share our story and declare it, God gives us the strength to do that. Not only does he give us the strength, but he's given us a spirit of power. He hasn't given us a spirit that makes us fear or be afraid. So our story is a story of declaration. The second is this, is that our story is a story of recognition. Our story is a story of recognition. In the Old Testament, there were men that God used called prophets, and they were messengers, and they would say that, you know, your Savior's coming, Messiah is coming. And then as the Old Testament ends, and then when John comes on the scene, there's about a 400-year gap. So imagine you being someone who was waiting and waiting, and then your generation passed, nothing. Another generation passed, and nothing. Another generation passed, and nothing. And on and on and on. And you're wondering, is my generation going to be the one that sees what has been spoken of? And so that's what we have, about 400 years in that time span. In verse 8, what happens is that John the Baptist comes on the scene, but it's very clear here in our passage that John is not the light. John was a great man, but he was just a man. And what we see here is that John was limited in his capacity to be light. But what John the Baptist was, is he was a lamp. He was a reflection of the light. We see that John was one who was to witness and to testify. And we look at those words, and as I studied, I just seeing that these words, they pretty much link together. And what we're seeing here is that it is proclaiming what is seen and what is known. John was giving information of the coming Savior. If you remember, John and Jesus, they're relatives. And so, but John's saying, listen, we may be relatives, but Jesus is the light. I'm just a conduit for the light. I am one who was chosen, but I'm not the chosen one. See, John recognized where his place was. Not only that, what he did was he always directed the praise. He always directed the credit to the one. The Bible says in John 1:19, it says, this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders sent priests and temple assistants from Jerusalem to ask John, who are you? He came right out and said, I am not the Messiah. It's not me. It's not me. John is letting us know that there was one to come. Not only that, he was saying, listen, there is one greater than me, because there were people in that day and time who were getting the wrong ideas about John the Baptist. And he's saying, time out. I'm not the one. And so with that, what he was saying was, even though there's one greater than me to come, that's just fine with that. Because when you and I share our story, we recognize who's the one in charge. The Bible says in John 1:29 that John the Baptist says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John didn't say, look, there's my relative. Just want you to meet Jesus. No, he said, here's the one. Plain as day. I know what I see. And there's the saving one. The one who's come to rescue all of humanity. And what he was doing, he was saying, listen, this light that's coming in, as we learned last week, it exposes our sin. It shows us how we can find that way to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And here's what I've learned over the years, is that God's the one who changes the lives. I don't know about you, but there's maybe people in our lives, and it may not just be on the spiritual angle, but there may be people in our lives who were just like, if you could just get it, and we try really, really hard to change them, and there's like no results because they don't want to change. Have you ever had that? Yeah. Or maybe you're like that too. I don't know. But what I'm saying is that John was letting us know that we share God's story. We share, I know what I saw God do in my life, and I will never refute that story. I know what I saw. And what he's asked us to do is to tell that story of God's redemption. When Tina and I were in Canada, we took time with our students and we went through what's called Pure Freedom. And it's what it is, it's a 6-week program, if you want to call it, and where we teach students how to have a pure life before marriage and during marriage, and how to live a life of singleness too. How you can be pure before God. And by week four, there was a girl named Allie who came to Tina, and she said, "Tina, I'm down with no sex before marriage. Got it, no problem. But here's what I realized. I realized I can't do it without God. I can't do it." And so Tina, at that point, didn't say, "Time out, wait a minute. Let's talk about this, Allie. You know, you need me to make this happen, right?" And Allie didn't say, "You know, you're right, Tina. I'll never be able to accomplish this." No, what she saw was that it was impossible for her to do without God. Because all that Tina and I were asked to do was declare his message of truth, his message of hope, and say, "You're right, it's only him." And so for you and I, when we talk about a story of declaration and a story of recognition, the question for you and I is, where are there areas in your life where it needs to be more of God in his story and less of you? Where do you get to the place where you need to say, "I know what I saw God do, and that's never going to change"? Maybe it's you need to take a bigger role of being smaller and allowing God to take the bigger role of being bigger and saying that's okay. Because when we come to a place and say, "Listen, you know what? God's message is important. I've seen the light. And I know that there's life in Christ. I know that I am incapable of doing this." Maybe for us today, it needs to be a new chapter. Maybe it does need to be a new beginning. And when we think about Paul Revere, you know, he was captured by the British. Not only was he captured by the British, but he was imprisoned. But eventually he was released. But imagine if Paul Revere, when he was approached and said, "Listen, we're sending you to go give the message. We're sending you to go give the announcement." And Paul says, "Well, you know, I'm a little behind on my work quota. Or, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on at home that I really need to be there. Or, you know, this is just, there's a lot that is on the line if I go." But what Paul did was he looked at the risk and he counted the cost and he went. And the reason why I share that with us today is really to bring us to the question of, what's your story? In other words, what message are others seeing and hearing in your life? Because I want to be clear, it's sometimes we think that, "Well, I just have to go, you know, it's Jesus," and it is. But it may be just an announcement of, "You know what, I'll be here for you." Or maybe, "Listen, I can pray for you. But when you're ready, my story will let you know that there's hope that can be found." Maybe we just need to step aside and say, "God, I just want people to see you before they see me." We have a vital message to bring to the world. And maybe for you today, it just needs to take that time and reflect and say, "God, I want you to be greater and I want to be less. And that's okay. I surrender anything, whether my motives have been wrong, whether I'm scared to even open my mouth about Jesus, whether it's, you know, there's things that you keep showing me, your light shows me, and I keep going that same way." Maybe for you this morning, it's as simple as, "Listen, I have kept my back on God. But I need to turn and face him and see the one who has given it all." the one who looked at the risk, the one who laid it all on the line because he saw that there was a cause that was greater than his. And I don't know where you are with all this, but here's what I want to encourage and challenge us with. We have an important message. And you know in your heart of hearts how that'll play out in your life and in the world around you. And maybe for some of you this morning, the question is, do you see the importance of the message? Do you see that God had you in mind when he began this? He was thinking of you when he sent his son. And maybe that's where you are. And I want to encourage you that today is a day that you can come, whether it's with myself or one of the elders, and say, I want to turn. I want to turn and follow Jesus with my life. We'll be here to speak, to pray with you, because we have a message of hope. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. We're going to hear about that in a couple weeks. But for you and I, what Jesus has come to do is he came to bring life. And Jesus is here. Jesus is coming. Let's declare that message to the world around us. Not only that, let's point people to Jesus. When we point them to Jesus, we know that he's the one that brings life to all those who believe. Let our story be God's story. Father, we come to you this morning, and we recognize, God, that in the midst of it all, there are times where we know how important your message is. And yet sometimes when we get caught up in the busyness of life, or when we get caught up in our own situations or our own difficulties or even our own darkness, we seem to forget you. But yet we know that you are faithful, and we know that you will not forget us. Father, let us remember that what you did was you chose and sent John to declare that there was a Savior coming. God, may we be people who do the same. Whatever that looks like, God, if there's fear that is in the way, I pray that we would set it aside and grab onto your peace. I pray that if it's in a way that we're displaying ourselves to the world, I pray that you would show us. Give us the strength and the courage to be your messengers, your representatives to the world. Let us be people who once again say Jesus is near. May ourselves recognize that you're closer than we may think. God, may our hearts say that when we do believe in you, that we would go, that the moment that you say it's time, that we would be willing to step outside of anything, look at the risk, and see that it's worth it. Father, I pray that for each individual here today, that they would allow you to continue to transform their hearts and their lives, to be people who understand what you have done. We have a story. Thank you, it's your story of what you've done in our lives. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.